Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in Romans chapter 12. There are 21 verses in this chapter. We have commentary and translation. Then also we're doing part 8 of knowing who you are, knowing that you're ascended with Christ, that your old man is dead on the cross and buried in baptism with Christ, and also you're resurrected with Christ and ascended and sitting with him in heavenly places. And you're involved now with spiritual warfare, and all of us have to be if you're going to get into heaven, because if you're not fighting the enemy, that means you must not mind him that much. And we have a couple of letters, one from the Philippines and the other one from Africa. We also have a news article in regard to a new wave of pestilence that's hitting the entire world, which threatens 20% of the world population, which is about 1.2 billion people, might possibly die from this dreaded disease that is coming from and being spread, coming from China and being spread all over the world. So you'll have to stay tuned. Don't turn the channel to Bozo or anybody else. This is Pastor Tony Alamo, and I've got the truth, all right? Okay, so let's all go up to the throne and ask the Lord to bless this tape, this message. Lord God, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life. We thank you for the inward anointing, the life that you've given us within. And those that are in darkness, Lord, we pray that you'll anoint this message and that everything that is said on this tape will make sense to people, that they'll listen very intently and let it sink deep into their spiritual ears, into their heart and souls, and into their minds. Fill their minds, Lord, with your word. And Lord, so that they will be able to have the mind of Christ and the Spirit. Pour out your anointing power upon us, the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives us the spiritual godly force to war, spiritual warfare against your enemy, the devil, and all of his evil imps that are embodied in people on this earth. Lord, we pray that billions of people will be saved before this epidemic hits, and before all the other epidemics and all the other plagues that are being sent on earth because of the sins of the people. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, where's the first letter from, Michelle?
From Ghana, Africa.
All right, let's hear it.
Dear Pastor Alamo, I have the badge of honor to introduce my request to your community. May the Lord bless you. I would like you to know that with your words, I have become a Christian. Please, Pastor, I am a girl of 17 years of age, a former pagan who was also a prostitute. My father gave me one of your literatures, and it changed my life completely. And always when I am sitting down, I want people to be preaching the Word of God to me. Please, Pastor, my problem is that I do not have a Bible, and I want you to help me with the Bible in some of your books you have written.
It's on the way. It's on the way, my dear. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Including the one called The Messiah and The Testimony of Dry Bones. Pastor, I also need more of the literature to distribute to four of my friends who are still in prostitution. I know by God's grace, if I preach to them, they will also become Christians through you. Please, Pastor, I am requesting this from you because I believe that as a man of God, you will help these my friends to also become Christians. Also, I have no money to buy a Bible, so I am pleading with you to help me with the Bible for my Christianity to prosper.
What a dear sister she is. You know, but you don't want to hang around with these prostitutes anymore. It's good to give the literature to him. It's good to witness to him, but it's good to say, look, I'm separated now, and come with me, because I'm not going with you any longer. Okay, and then what?
Thank you, Pastor, and may God bless you and all the members of the Alamo Christian Ministry. Amen. I hope you will reply very soon. Yours faithfully, KBJ from Ghana, Africa.
Okay, well, make sure she gets everything. I'm sure everything is on its way already. But make sure that she gets a copy of this tape and tell her that we loved your testimony so much that we put it right on our tape, and it's being played all over the world. You can turn on the internet no matter where you're at in the world. onto our website, rather, and you're going to hear this. We're also on another website that gets 10 million hits a week, and many other websites as well. People are hooking on to our website and putting it on theirs. Also, we have these tape messages are on the website as well. All right, and then what? Where's the next one from?
From the Philippines.
All right.
Dear Sir, Pastor Alamo, may God bless you and the entire body of Christ within your ministry. It is wonderful to note the great works God has been doing through your ministry's gospel literature. It converts many souls. It is well accepted in prisons, hospitals, and other full gospel ministries. But the main problem is translation. So I'd like to ask you if you could send literature in the Tagalog or Ilocano dialects.
Now, the ones that do our translations are the translators that work for the United Nations. They sit there and interpret for each other. And we pay a lot of money to have these all of my literature translated into all the different languages. And I didn't realize that we didn't have these two languages. We're going to do that right away. So the translation room, when you hear this, get busy on this immediately. And let's get the Philippines. We have a lot of churches in the Philippines, but I didn't realize that we didn't have these two major dialects there in translation yet. Then what?
I know that the majority of most Filipinos in the USA are Tagalog or Ilocano. I know that you can find a translator.
Oh, yes, no problem. The UN has translators, and we pay them dearly to make sure that our literature, my literature is translated properly. Then what?
I'd like to be a full-time partner of your ministry in spreading not only your literature, but converting also unbelievers.
Well, the literature will do that for sure. And it's wonderful that you want to do that, and we accept your request. Then what?
The major problem I encounter is lack of funds for translating your literature for transportation to soul-winning activities.
Okay, first we will take care of the translating money, so you don't have to worry about that. And then transportation for where?
To soul-winning house.
To soul-winning house. I don't know what that means. We go out on the streets every day, and we go to many houses and out on the streets, and we put the literature on vehicles and hand it to people and everything like that, but whatever. And transportation, I don't know what kind of transportation you mean. Okay, then what else?
Then it says, or in a park.
Oh, yes. People out there in Radio Land, if you'd like to help these people, send some tithes in so we can take care of all these things. Then what else?
We encounter rain and shine, but still we continue to serve the Lord.
We do, too. We encounter rain, sleet, rain and shine, but Bernstein rides again. Tony Alamo is always going, we don't care, that doesn't stop us a bit. Hail, no matter what. We're going to be out there, and if we're not there, we're in the newspapers with printing the literature, or we're on the website. We get lots of hits, thousands upon thousands of hits every week, and millions of them now. So we got a pretty large congregation, and so your letter is going to be right on there, and we're trying to get some funds for your transportation right now. With our supporting works all over the world, in every nation, our funds, we've been making the money ourselves and putting it in, but they're getting, they could get a little thin if this continues on as fast as it's mushrooming or snowballing. And so, any of you that want to get an extra special blessing from the Lord, send your tithes and offerings in, and we'll make sure that these people, as always, they get their Bibles and literature and whatever else they need, transportation. We've bought trucks for Africa and food, and we bought water wells for them, and same thing with India and shelters for people that were living in sewers. We now got shelters for them. We've transported people from Russia to Israel. And we've also set up food lines for them in Israel and in Russia. And we try to help. We help wherever we know that there's help needed. And you could be part of this. We're all one body, And so we're not to be divided at all. And so let's all pitch in and let's get this job done for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We encounter rain and shine, but still we continue to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes I preach without shoes, but I know God is not looking on the outside appearance.
Well, we do too on the beach. Pass out tracks down there. But that's what you want to do. But, you know, let's send some finances in here so we can give shoes to not only them, but there's people in all over Africa and India that need clothes and everything. And we can support, we can give the literature, and we give as much as we can, but we could do a lot more if everyone would help us, you know, if everybody would pitch in. And because the people that we win, they love the full gospel. They don't believe in just prosperity, that part of the gospel. And they don't just believe in salvation, part where you come and get saved and you don't do anything. But we believe that you must get saved. You must give up your old life. You must be resurrected in order to do that. And you must ascend with Christ. And you must be ruling and reigning for the Lord. And you must be involved in spiritual warfare. And so these people that read my literature and listen to the tapes, this is the kind of Christians they are. And they're out on the front lines witnessing and testifying and winning souls. And that's the kind of work you want to be involved with. It's all right to be involved with other works that are doing the same thing. But why not be involved with all the works? Because we're all one body. I mean, if they're really other works are of the Lord, well, they're one with us. Amen. We just need to get the work done. And so if you need a blessing in your life, then tithe, give offerings. And give until it hurts. All right? Then what?
I know God is not looking on the outward appearance, but on our hearts.
Right. He doesn't look at our shoes, but we as Christians are supposed to do unto you as though we were doing it unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So if we see somebody without shoes, we have to take care of them. Amen?
Amen.
Even if you have to give up one of your, maybe some of you people got 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 pairs of shoes, give one of your pairs of shoes for God's sake. Amen?
Amen.
For their sake, for the Lord's sake. And for the sake of these people that especially are walking around trying to, if we can get the man's size, we'll buy it for him. But, you know, come on and help us pitch in, because there's millions of people that need shoes, okay? And food and clothing and literature and Bibles. All right, then what else?
We are appealing to fellow Christians in your ministry who are fortunate that are able to share our burdens. Our ministry would like to be associate partners of the Alamo Ministry, especially now that we are at the end times.
Yes, we definitely accept you that way. And then what else?
I hope that the Lord touches your hearts. We need the following: a tent as a shelter for worshiping.
Well, that would be nice. So everybody listen in now. Okay, and then what?
Bible concordance.
Okay, well, we'll supply that. And then what else?
English dictionary.
We need to know what size of a tent and everything. And the English dictionary is fine. You give it to them. We probably already have. I'm just saying this. Then what else?
A complete set of Alamo Christian literature and gospel music.
Well, that's definitely for sure. Then what?
We are now mobilizing the interfaith fellowship of our ministries, so we need reference literature in bulk. During World Youth Day, held in the Philippines, only our ministry stood up to tell that the Pope is the Antichrist.
Well, it's not just the Pope that's the Antichrist. Just as the body of Christ is the Christ, and that all of us are Christian, everyone that Christ is living in is Christ. And everyone that the Satan is living in is the Antichrist. The Pope is just one of many. The cardinals and multitudes of others, and all the anyone that's Muslim. Now people are making such a big, the media is making such a big deal out of people flushing the Quran down the toilet. It's amazing that the media isn't offended at somebody that is burning Bibles or anything. That doesn't offend me if somebody burns false doctrine at all. If it were me, I would gladly, they want to show me burning Qurans on the TV, I'll do it right in front of everybody. Okay? I have no sympathy for false doctrine. Only the media has that. Only Satan has that. All of a sudden people are having to apologize for that. I'll flush all those statues in the Catholic cult structures, I'll flush them down the toilet right in front of everybody, too, if they just let me. I'll let the news cameras take pictures of it, too. And any Hinduism or anything from these false religions like Mohammedism, I have no sympathy for this. There's only one way to get into the kingdom of heaven. There's only one name given among men whereby you must be saved. And I'm not involved in interfaith where we all join together, all faiths together. And if that's what, this man is going to do, we have to let him know for sure that this is totally Antichrist. He himself would be Antichrist if he gets involved with that. And that's why I say that many Christians have fallen away from Christ by getting involved with these other religions, thinking that, well, we're going to bring about peace on earth. The Lord said when they should say peace, peace, when they're structuring things in this manner, then he's going to bring forth sudden destruction on everybody. So the Lord commands us to be separate and holy and don't accept anybody else but Christ. There's no way, no name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Not Muhammad or Buddha or any of these others, but just I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes into the kingdom of heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me and me alone. So this is why all the different false religions are so antagonistic at us, and they make up all kinds of stories of that we're evil and that we're cults. And no, they're cults, because anyone that defies the Word of God, and Christ is the Word of God. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then the Bible goes on to say that Christ is the Word of God. So that means if you believe the whole Word of God, then you can be saved. Believe on the whole Word of God and thou shalt be saved. But if you doubt the Word of God and think that you can become one with false religions, you are infuriating the Almighty God to the point of that he will destroy you. And so don't listen to this sort of thing. Now, I understand there's a lot of people that are not fully mature in the Lord, and they are Christians, and there's no doubt that you're Christians. But don't get caught up into this, or you'll be part of the falling away that is mentioned in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, where Paul said this would happen just before Christ comes back to earth again, and that has happened. And more people are being magnetized into this false Christianity. So many of them that it's just astounding. You can see like millions of them gathered together, but very few. The Bible says, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and very few there be that shall enter the kingdom of heaven thereof. But broad is the way of destruction. People just love to hear this sweet message of, oh, we all got to love one another. The Lord doesn't say that. He says that Christians are to love Christians. Okay, why? Because we're a minority. And he says that people that don't love one another and call themselves Christians, they're still in darkness. But we've never been commissioned to win souls, to preach to the lost, but we're certainly not to fellowship with them. That's why I'm saying to this woman, this 17-year-old girl that was a former prostitute, you can't go back to the whorehouse and be around that crowd, or drunkards can't go back, or drug addicts can't go back to the drug addicts. You can go back to them, but you can say, here's the literature, here's what the Lord says, and if you accept it, then fine, come with me, and we'll all be saved together. But if they renege, if they reject, then the Lord rejects them also. And you have to know, the Lord is very strict. He's a loving God, and he loves you. But if you reject him, he's very stern also. He loves you if you fear him and keep his commandments. But he will reject you just as fast as you reject him. So remember that, and don't fall for this false doctrine of, like, we all have to join one religion, and we are the world. You don't want to be part of the world, the Lord says. Amen? We are the people. And you swing your hands back and forth. What is that song? We are the world. What is the other words to it?
We are the children.
We are the children. The children of wrath is what you are. Okay? If you're going to be of the world, we are the world. I'm not of this world. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus says, love not this world. Amen?
Amen.
Nor the things of this world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So when I hear this song, we are the world, oh, they get all these big lost superstars, and they're singing back and swaying, and they got candles in their hand like that's supposed to mean something, you know? The candle that you want to have is the Word of God, amen?
Amen?
Not some piece of wax that has a wick on it, okay? That's retarded. Okay, in the spiritual realm, this is absolutely retarded, okay? Forget about we are the world. He says, love not the world. Anyone that loves the world is what?
The love of the Father is not in him.
Right. He said, everyone that's not with me, in other words, if you're with me, you're against the world. He said, everyone that's not with me is against me. Are you silly enough to be against God? Do you think you can prosper being against God? Well, then you're silly. Goose, you. You silly goose. How could you be so stupid? I remember Edgar Burton used to have these two dummies, and he'd say to Mortimer III, Mortimer, how can you be so stupid? And Mortimer'd say, well, it ain't easy. It seems very easy for y'all, you know. So don't sing that song anymore that you're of the world. Tell them, we're of the Lord. We are separate. We are the chosen. We are the sons of God. We have eternal life. We've turned our back on the world. Amen?
Amen.
Sing songs like that. You songwriters out there, write songs like that. Forget about we are the world. You know who's of the world? All that is of the devil is of the world. Amen?
Amen.
All that is of the world is lust. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what the scriptures say. Amen?
Amen.
I guess we better finish this letter. All right.
The Vatican exerted all its efforts to stop all our activities. I was inspired by your literature. It reminded me of Dr. Jose Rizal, our national hero.
Yes. I've been told that I remind people of national heroes. And even the Apostle Paul. Because we were saved in very much the same manner. And when you get saved and you just start doing the work of the Lord and turn your back on the world and stop singing you're of the world and start singing that you're of the kingdom of heaven, and the people will admire you as well, all right? Because it's only the God in me that doeth any good thing. Only Christ in me that does any good thing. Okay, I take no credit for it. Believe me when I tell you. It's all the Lord. Okay, then what?
He used his pen to save his country, not only from imperialism, but also to awaken Filipinos to false doctrines of Catholicism.
You know, my pen has won a lot of souls to the Lord because it's directed by the Lord. But it's just amazing how many people that it hasn't saved the country yet. The country, it seems like the more that you teach them what the truth is, the more they rebel against it. And therefore, they are not... they're unruly. They cannot be ruled by God. It's impossible for them to be ruled by God. They're unruly. And the Lord, as I said in one of my other messages, he teaches us how to pray that he wants God's kingdom to come, his will to be done. If this doesn't become his kingdom, his will will not be done here. Man has to have, or God has to have a kingdom before he can rule in it. And there's all these people down here are unruly. That shows that it's Satan's kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
It's Satan's kingdom. And so, that's why God is going to annihilate 3 billion people, one-third of the world population, which will be approximately 2 billion people at one time. And this new plague that's hitting the earth is about 1.2 billion people could very possibly die from this one plague alone. Okay, and so let's go on now.
I'm planning also to write a book titled The Secret of the Pope According to Bible Prophecy.
Oh, well, they got my tract, my piece of literature that I wrote called The Pope's Secrets, so he's going to make a book called The Secrets of the Pope. Okay. All right. I've been ripped off before. Just all power to you, brother. I mean, just go ahead and put it out. Then what?
2, the last and end time prophet of God. And 3, the mark of the new world order. I need simplified resource materials, funds, and advice, and a book or manual format in making the book.
Okay, so you want me to write this book, all right. Now, brother, that's not right. If you've got something to say, then say it. And if you want to use my literature and material, go right ahead. Anybody that wants to use it can. All right, and many have already, but that's fine because it's just getting the gospel out. And as I said, it didn't come from me anyway, it's from the Lord. Okay, so I don't mind. Then what else?
It is dangerous to do this, but I...
No, it is not dangerous to do this. It's dangerous not to do what the Lord says. You know, like if I thought it was dangerous to write Pope Secrets and the Fugitive Pope, you know, the kind of whores and all the other anti-Catholic literature that I've written, because the Bible tells that the Roman Catholic cult is the headquarters of Antichrist, and this is where every abomination in the world is coming from. If I thought it was dangerous, I wouldn't. And I wrote that piece of literature over 20 years ago. And so I'm still alive. Amen?
Amen.
But the thing is like, this man is saying it's dangerous to write stuff about the Pope, as though he's talking to a novice. I'm a veteran of that sort of thing, okay? And no, I am the one that really kicked the hole through the wall, all the people say. And so many people are so afraid to do it that they don't even, a lot of Christians won't attend my church because they're so afraid. Remember, in the book, in the last book of the Bible, says that the fearful and unbelieving shall spend eternity in the lake of fire with Satan and all of his wicked angels. You're going to the same hell in the lake of fire if you're afraid of Satan more than you are of God. I'm so afraid of God that it doesn't even occur to me to be afraid of Satan or any of his imps or any governments or all the governments in the world. So it's never dangerous to do what the Lord says. It's dangerous if you don't do it. Now, brother, you listen to me and don't say things like that because you would discourage fearful Christians. You'll make them even more fearful. And you're trying to make yourself look like a big, fearless man. I'm not fearless. I mean, I realize that people could get upset and do things. But I'm more afraid of God than I am of all the people in the world. I'm more afraid of him because I've experienced his terror, as Paul has. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I continue preaching and doing his will. And so don't you ever be afraid of Satan or anybody else in this world. Fear God only and keep his commandments. And then God will add all things unto you. Amen?
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't be concerned about what the kingdom of Satan is doing here on earth or being fearful of it. If that's what you are, well, then you must don't say that you're big and brave, you know, for doing what the Lord says. Be obedient to the Lord and receive eternal blessings. And that he, if God is angry, if people are angry, you can do something about that. You know, you can run and hide. But if God gets angry, where are you going to run? You can't run inside the house. Amen?
Amen?
Or hide under the bed. Why? Because you'll see that God is right there under the bed with you. And he can come right through the walls. Amen?
Amen.
And you can hide inside the tornado shelter, and he's right there, no matter where you go. You can swim to the bottom of the sea, and he says, I'll send my serpents, and they will bite you. He says, you can go to the top of Mount Carmel. And what does the Lord say when you do that? Huh? He says, he's there, amen?
Amen.
No matter where you go, the Lord's there. He's everywhere. and he can pinch your little nose and seal your lips so you can breathe any more, okay? And you can do it in one flash of a second. So don't tick God off, okay? Tick the Vatican off. Tick Satan off. But don't tick God off, because all Satan could do maybe is kill your body, but God can kill your body and send your soul to hell, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said that. Okay, then what?
I know that a true Christian is always on the winning side. At this time, we are going one place to another for soul winning, and at the same time doing research about the book I'd like to accomplish.
Well, just read my tracts and then write your book. Then what else?
So I am appealing once more. We need your literature in bulk, clothing, and even used basic needs for our workers, because there's no other source of funds.
Okay, well, if you're going to receive what I'm saying, we'll do that. But if you don't, well, then, you know, we'll feed anyone. We'll feed our enemies, and we'll give them to drink. And we'll give them clothes if they're naked. Amen?
Amen.
But I won't finance your ministry. You can use my literature, and I'll send you literature if you want to distribute it. But I'm just saying this for your own good, brother. Don't be afraid of the devil, and don't think you're a big deal, because you're doing what God said. Okay? The Bible says to be very bold and courageous. And that's good that you are, and I see that you are, and that's wonderful. But don't tell anybody that it's a scary thing or it's dangerous or anything like that. So what if it was, okay? It's more dangerous to not do what the Lord says, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
Some of our interfaith members are not yet exercising Malachi 3, 7 through 11.
Interfaith. I hope you're not joining up with other false religions, because if you're doing that, I will not help you at all. Okay, then what else?
Despite these conditions, we must go on to reach the goal.
Yes, I am very aware of what you must do to win souls, because I win lots of them, and I do it in the name of Christ, and it's the Christ in me that does it. Then what?
Even though I'd like to send your ministry the documented testimony of our church, I can't afford yet to pay the high cost of post-handling.
Oh, well, you'll never see the righteous begging. Amen?
Amen.
Bread. You'll never see the children of the righteous begging bread. So just save up, okay, and then send it. Then what else?
Your pledge to help us is not in vain.
I haven't pledged anything yet except to send you literature and Bibles. Okay, and if that's the extent until I learn if you're going to receive what I'm saying. Okay, then what else?
We are to do our effort and resources as a team to rescue the unbelievers from Satan.
Well, it's not really a team. We're one body. Amen?
Amen.
One body, one spirit, one God, one Savior. Amen?
Amen.
We're just one body and many members in that body, and we are to help one another in the body. Okay, so the Lord doesn't call it a team, he calls it a body. Amen?
Amen.
And that body cooperates with the Lord, and the Lord cooperates with them. Okay, then what?
A true church of God is very powerful.
Are you saying that because you don't think that I'm a true church of God? I already know that. We are powerful enough to help you and other people all over the world. Then what?
We are greater in Him, in God, than he that is in this world.
I know, I preach that all the time. Then what?
As a partner in Christ, we pray also for you and your ministry, that God will overflow His blessings.
Well, it's not my ministry, it's the Lord's ministry. Okay? That's one thing. You know, the Lord says that people are standing at the judgment bar of God, and they say, Lord, did I, in my ministry, do a great and marvelous work for... The Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. It's not my ministry or your ministry, it's the Lord's ministry. Okay, now, brother, you've got to mature in the Lord. This is the Lord's work. Amen?
Amen.
This is not my ministry or your ministry, it's the Lord's ministry, and we're just cooperating with Him, walking, letting the Spirit lead us to do the things that He wants us to do. Because I don't want to say, did I not do a great work? No, I want to throw my crown at His feet and say, Lord, you did such a marvelous work through me. and through the others that I know. And all these others that are, you're saying, come in, my good and faithful servant. I see these people that are on TV, and they are saying, you know, the actor's studio. And they're saying, well, what would you like the Lord to say to you when you're standing at the judgment or at the pearly gates? And some of them say, such strange things. My answer to that would be, what do I want the Lord to say to me? I want him to say, come on in, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Okay? And some of the people say such sacrilegious things. Of course, they need to be born again, and that's why we need to get the gospel to them. Amen?
Amen.
Hopefully you people in Radio Land are learning something from what I'm saying, because I'm a veteran of the satanic wars that are on earth. All right, then, and I've been very successful in defeating the devil. Yet not I, Christ in me has kept me walking on the turbulence of this world. Then what else?
God said to love one another so that they may see that you are my disciples.
Right. He also said if you don't love your brothers, that you're still walking in darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I know that, brother. Then what else?
This is the new commandment of God.
I know that, brother. I preach that all the time. Then what?
Your pledge of love to us is not for us.
No, my pledge of love is to the Lord. And you don't have to try to convince me to help you. It's as though you think that I'm not going to help you. I mean, you have to trust. If you don't trust that I'm a person of the Lord, then why spend the time to write this to me? I help everybody that I believe is really sincere. You know, I don't want to doubt you, brother. So don't doubt me. Okay, then what?
Your pledge of love to us is not for us, but as a proof of your love to God.
Oh, you don't have to, use leverage like that with me. I fear God, all right? And I don't have to prove anything to you. I believe I've already done that, or you wouldn't be reaching out to me. All right, then what else?
Sincerely, your co-laborer in Christ, D.C. from the Philippines.
Praise the Lord. All right, and then we have that news article. Where was this at? In the USA Today, was
yes.
that? You, and what date is it?
It's May 26th, 2005.
Okay, so that was what, yesterday?
Yes.
Yesterday, May 26th, 2005. Okay, and this is May 27th, amen? Okay, so we're a day behind. I hate being behind like that. Okay, go ahead.
Flu warnings escalate. Scientists urge global action. Growing concern over a persistent epidemic of bird flu across Asia is leading to urgent calls from international scientists to prepare for a global flu pandemic that could strike, by some estimates, 20% of the world population.
Well, 20% of the world population is about 1.2 billion people. Now, you can read this article. What page is that on?
9D.
So look it up on 9D, and that's May 26th, USA Today?
Yes.
Okay, there's a lot more to that article. And we just want to, you know, get into that we're newscasters or anything. So if you want to buy the paper and read the rest of the article. But that right there says that it could destroy, kill 20% of the Earth population. There's 6 billion people, I'm told. So that would be 1.2 billion people would die from just this one epidemic alone, not including AIDS, Ebola, and there are many. I told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, we're in the tribulations, and God hasn't raptured you false Christians, nor is he going to rapture any false Christian or any true Christian out of the tribulations. You might die and go on to be with the Lord if you're a Christian, and many of you will die before the major tribulations happen, but the rapture is not, or if you want to call it the rapture, the Lord's not coming back to get his church until immediately after the tribulations. And so anyone that's preaching otherwise is a false, They're either not mature in the Lord, they either are not studying the Word enough to know, or they're just believing somebody else's doctrine and just telling you this. But the Bible says that, read chapter 24 of Matthew, says immediately after the tribulation, the Lord is going to come. Amen? It says the sign of the Lord will be in the sky, and then they'll see. The heavens will open up like a large scroll. Amen? And they'll see the Son of Man, who is also God, standing in the heavens and coming back. And the other scriptures say that he's going to come back and take vengeance on all the ungodly. Says every person will raise from the dead, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People are saying all kinds of snide remarks now, blasphemous remarks, but their tongue is going to wag, you're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords. We were wrong. And they're saying, can we repent? No, it's too late. He must repent now. Okay, but there's going to be tribulations that are so bad that, and people will pray to die. They will pray for months to die, but they won't be able to find death. It looks like some people are so troubled today that they want to pay doctors to kill them because they don't have Christ. They don't have, they don't believe that there's any kingdom of heaven. They don't believe that there's hell. They don't believe that they're going to hell. That's why they're paying people to kill them. They don't believe any of this stuff, and greedy doctors will kill you if you pay them enough, and possibly sign over your house and car and everything else to them, whatever else you own. But the Bible says that there's a tribulation coming that's going to be so horrible that people will do everything they can to die, but they will not be able to die. And it says it'll be so evil, so horrible, that they'll actually gnaw on their tongues, and they're going to gnaw on their tongues in hell in the lake of fire, the Bible says, for pain. And they're going to just keep doing that throughout eternity. So, I mean, you know, I can't understand a person that when you see all the prophecies being fulfilled as they have, it only stands to reason that the rest of them are going to be fulfilled. And if he says that you reject him, you're going to be gnawing on your tongue for pain and be confined like you're in a metal casket, just with flames, boiling lava pouring all over you eternally, screaming out to the top of your lungs, no water, no food, no rest for eternity, and then you're going to reject the Lord and think you can fight that? It's already fixed. Everything that God said is sealed. It can't be changed. And so consider that tonight before you go to sleep tonight, because many people die in their sleep. I know an undertaker over in Van Buren, Arkansas, that said most people die in their sleep. And they usually die when they eat a meal before they go to sleep. And they lay on their back and they drowned in their vomit. They vomit and they drowned in it. And he says, we cart them in here left and right every day in a small town of Van Buren, Arkansas. And a lot of people are dying because they're congested with all kinds of food. They never cleanse themselves out. We're like garbage cans. And we need to cleanse ourselves internally as well. They said when the Duke died, John Wayne, that they found the autopsy, they found 45 pounds of dung inside of him. 45 pounds of dung. And they said that if he would have got himself cleaned out, that he probably would have been alive today. Because all that dung that's in people need to wash themselves out, just like you wash out a toilet or you wash out a sink. Or a garbage can, if you just keep throwing slop in there. And it's going to get filled with maggots. And people are filled with maggots and things if they don't cleanse out. There's cleansing things that you can get at health food stores, cleansing routines that you drink, and all sorts of things. They can tell you about it. I'm not trying to tell you anything other than what I have heard, and it's So you can find out about it by reading books on it and going to talking to your health food people. Primarily the best ones are, you know, they're all over the country, but I know of good ones in Los Angeles. All right, so much for all that. We're into Romans chapter 12 now. Let's go.
A living sacrifice to God. King James Version, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
We have to give ourselves totally to the Lord. I mean, that means turning your back, utterly forsaking the world. And that's how to be saved. Now, they'll tell you all kinds of other ways. They'll say, oh, that's too radical, or, oh, yeah, Tony Alamo's too far to the right. Well, if I'm too far to the right, then so is God. God is, you know, he's got his way. We have to take a complete turn. You're going to the left, and the Lord says, turn completely around and go this way. That's radical. And now people will say that you've been brainwashed, that mind control, whatever you want to call it, you either have to go the way of Satan or the way of God. Now, the way I look at it, if you're going Satan's way, you've been mind controlled by the Vatican, by the one world government and church, which is controlled by the Vatican and the media. And so if you want to believe them rather than God, God says you have to completely turn around and give yourself as a living sacrifice, because he gave himself as a living sacrifice for you. Now, who do you think you are? If God gives himself as a sacrifice, and you're too good to do it because of your mousy flesh, you don't want to deprive your flesh of anything, or any of your lusts, of course not, on this earth, well, then you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven, and you're going to boil forever, and you won't be able to faint. You won't be able to get any medication, and there's no parole, no pardon, no exit out of hell. Okay, and then verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Be not conformed to this world. And they're singing, we are the world, we're conformed to the world. Exactly the opposite of what it says there. Amen?
Amen.
Read it again.
And be not conformed.
Be not conformed. With what?
To this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Translation, verse 1 and 2. A living sacrifice. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice.
Well, the Bible says that, know you not that your body is the temple of God? He doesn't want to share it with Satan or with you either. Some people say, well, I'll let Jesus come in and he can live there. Well, he wants you to move out. You say, well, I'll give him one room in my body, and then, you know, he can be a guest. Oh, he doesn't want to be a guest. He says, you don't belong to yourself anymore. He paid the price for you, and you belong to him. Just like I belong to him, and everybody else that's going to get to heaven belongs to him, and he'll do with you what he wants. If you're a sacrifice to him, if you give the Queen of England a gift, you can't tell her what to do with that gift. She'll do with it whatever she wants. If you give yourself as a gift to the Lord, you can't tell him what you're going to do. You have to do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so then go ahead.
Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he'll accept.
Yeah, a living and holy sacrifice, the only kind that the Lord will accept. Well, what is that? He says, I will not accept anything, anybody that's got any sin on their soul. Not one spot, one blemish. At all. They must be spotless, without blame, without wrinkle. Then what?
When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Verse 2.
Yeah, he died for you. Is that too much for him to ask? And he's spared you. You're not going to hell if you do what he says. In the lake of fire. But we don't believe in the lake of fire. Oh! Then you don't believe in Jesus. He's the Word of God. So you can't be saved. You're lost, and you're going to hell anyway. So that's not going to hurt God. That's not going to hurt me. That's not going to hurt anybody but yourself. You think you're getting even with God? That's the same thing as you cut off your nose to spite your face. I don't like my face. I'm going to wring my nose off. I'll teach my face. Come on. All right, then just keep continuing in the translation.
Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Verse 3, as God's messenger, I give each of you this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Verse 4, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Verse 5, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of His one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ...
Yeah, this is a team. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, if we were a team, well, then one of us is something... You know, we're all have different levels of authority in the body, but we're all one body only. Okay? Then what else?
Since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Verse 6. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. Verse 7. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. Verse 8. If your gift is to encourage others, do it! If you have money, share generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Verse 9. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of the good. Verse 10. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Verse 11. And never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Verse 12. Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and always be prayerful. Verse 13. When God's children are in need, be the one to help them out, and get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. Verse 14. If people persecute you because you are a Christian, don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Verse 15. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they are sad, share their sorrow. Verse 16. Live in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important, but enjoy the company of ordinary people.
Okay, now, what verse is that where it says take people home to dinner with you?
13.
Okay, read it out of King James.
Okay. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality.
Okay, that doesn't mean that you must invite people to home to dinner with you, but you must be hospitable to them. If that's what the Lord leads you to do, then you do it. But don't just, use discernment, use the Holy Spirit to discern whether the Lord wants you to take certain people home with you or not. Especially when you've got children there and so on. Usually you don't do that unless people have been in the church for a while and you get to know them. The Lord doesn't ask you to be without understanding and without knowledge and wisdom. A lot of young Christians take that literally to where you just must invite people home to dinner with you. It's talking about in the church, after you've been around the brothers and sisters for a while, and for maybe a while, you can invite them over for dinner, if you like, but that isn't specifically what it means. It just means be hospitable to them. If you have a dining hall in your church, you can sit over and fellowship with them is what it means, too, all right? Okay, now let's go back.
Okay, verse 16, and don't think you know it all, Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Verse 18, do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. Verse 19, dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for it is written, quote, I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it, exclamation mark, unquote, says the Lord.
Now, I don't consider vengeance, me taking vengeance, when I'm uncovering the evil works of Satan. Because the Lord leads me to do that, to tell people where Satan is, because he said for us to resist Satan. And if you don't know who Satan is, it could even be your own people, some of the people in your own government. And if you're not warned as to who they are, and they tell you to do something, and you're not mature in the knowledge of God and what you should or shouldn't do, you could be doing things that are extremely sinful, because you can see that some of the leaders, even President Clinton, has done many evil things. And a lot of them lie, saying that they're Christians. The Bible says, don't believe every spirit, and beware of false brothers. And, of course, sisters. Everyone that names the name of Christ is not Christ. A lot of it, he says, beware of false Christians, false brethren. Okay, then what?
Verse 20. Instead, do what the scriptures say. Quote, if your enemies are hungry, feed them.
Of course, you can feed them. That doesn't mean you have to take them into your house. Okay? And then what else?
If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, and they will be ashamed of what they have done to you. Unquote.
Amen. That's the truth.
Verse.
All right. No, that was 21, right?
I have verse 21 to read.
Okay, read 21 then.
Don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good.
Amen. All right, that was the 21 verses of chapter 12. Now we have a commentary.
12 verse 1 through chapter 16 verse 27. The Apostle Paul now begins adding practical applications and personal greetings to his theological discussion of chapters 1 through 11. The fact is that this book may be divided into two large sections of doctrine. Chapters 1 through 11 and then the rest of the chapters are applications, chapter 12 through 16. 12 verse 1. Therefore, in light of the great plan of salvation, 12 verse 3 through 8, Paul calls for lives marked by humility and faithfulness in Christian relationships. This is accomplished by observing chapter 8, being in the Spirit. Just as the physical body is made up of many members, each with a different function, the church has a body of many members. Christ has a body of many members. The church and the body are both Christ's body. And the bride has many members. The New Jerusalem has many members, but all closely related and all constituting a unity with Christ, with each one having individual functions and responsibilities.
That's why I don't like to be called a group or a bunch or a team, even though we do have teamwork in the body. It's like the arm, it doesn't contradict what my head wants to do, or my head wants to get up, my brain and my legs cooperate, and my feet and my brain wants me to walk, and so my feet and my body and my legs cooperate. Okay, and that's what it is. It's the teamwork of the body, but it's still one body. All right, then what?
We are not to inflate our own position, nor to begrudge others their office. 12 verse 3. Paul refers to his own function in the body as an authoritative apostle through the grace or the power that is given to him. The measure of faith is not saving faith, but the faith to receive and to exercise the gifts God appropriates to us. Quote, the measure of faith, unquote, he gives corresponds to the role he assigns as creator and redeemer. Now, I've mentioned that everyone has been given the measure of faith, the measure of faith to be saved. However, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17.
So you can become more knowledgeable of the things that God has already provided for you, which is not really, well, it does build your faith, but what it does, the knowledge makes you more sure that you have all the promises of the Lord. Because of the knowledge of his word. And then the more you read, the more you see that, yes, 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 he did give me all these things. And so you can begin exercising the measure of faith that the Lord gave you. knowledge gives you the knowledge of the faith of the things that the Lord has given you. He gives you the complete outline of everything that you get. In other words, somebody could send you a big package. You have that package, right? And inside the package are all kinds of different gifts. You don't know what those gifts are until you open the whole package and open all the little packages inside the big package, right?
Right.
Well, by reading the Bible, you understand, you're opening up all the packages to see what he has. And then you say, I have it. I know now what the Lord has given me, the package. Amen? The faith. The measure of faith. And then the knowledge of the wisdom and the knowledge of it shows you what he gave you. And then now I've got faith to receive healing, salvation, and all the other things, resurrection and ascension and everything. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm opening up packages for you. If you haven't taken the time to do it yourself, let me open them for you. All right, then what?
So he gives faith, not the measure of faith. That's given to everyone when they're saved. But he gives other faith to those he assigns to do his work, our Creator and Redeemer. 12 verse 4 through 5. Our different gifts and abilities should make us love and depend more on one another, and therefore should make us more united as one body in Christ. 12 verse 6 through 8. There are basically two different ways that people interpret or approach this passage on gifts. One is to see them as a category distinct from God's other New Testament passages, often referred to as the Father's creational gifts. So you can see that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and 11. Another way they look at it is to see them as a repeat or overlap of many of those mentioned in either 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 29, or Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. 12, verse 6. Prophecy refers either to those whose creation gift from the Father enables to view all of life with special ongoing prophetic insight, independent of public office or special use by the Spirit in giving public prophecy, or to the manifestation of public prophecy. In other words, something to the public, speaking something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. In proportion to our faith, likely means that prophecy of any sort is to be exercised in accordance with the biblical maturity God has granted the speaker, recognizing that God is the originator of the gift. 12 verse 7 through 8. Ministry means that you know what to do according to what the Lord has originally given you, and also to use everything that the Lord has given you by faith, the new spiritual gifts that he's given to you. So whatever you naturally know to do, and whatever the Lord spiritually has shown you to do, to service one another in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 5. Teaching refers to those who are especially gifted to keep an eye on the instructions, to instruct the church, which means the revealed truth of God's word, regardless of whatever you do in your secular job or anything public. If you're a teacher in a school, to teach also the word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Quote, he who exhorts, unquote, describes those whose natural gifts that have been given to them from the Lord enables them also by the Spirit to best apply God's truth through the Spirit, to encourage them in the Word of God, and to fill them full of God's power by the faith given to you by God, or to those such as pastors who are called to publicly bring salvation and encouragement to the church and the world. Quote, he that gives, unquote, which does not occur in 1 Corinthians or Ephesians listings, refers to those who are gifted to do that, to contribute to the faith and support others, and those that are gifted with abundant financial means so as to support the work of the gospel. Quote, he who leads, unquote, refers to those who are gifted by God to lead the church and to lead others to salvation and to know how to administer proper conduct in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Quote, he who shows mercy, unquote, defines those with this special gift of strong perception, perceptive concern. Those that are called to sow mercy, not to lord it over people, to give people relief from the horrible things they go through, and give acts of charity and mercy to others, and do it with cheerfulness. We're warned to warn those with this gift not to allow depression or anything to overtake you. 9, verse 21. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. So the commandment is to guide others for pastors, and we're to follow all the instructions of the Lord. We're not only to guide fellow believers, but the world, even our enemies, verses 14 through 21. Paul mentions many specific Christian duties, but love is the dominant note in all the exhortations. In other words, keeping of God's commandments is the dominant teaching. 12 verse 18. Because some people may remain violently opposed to us, there are times when all efforts toward peace fail. However, the Christian needs to make certain that he is not at fault when peace breaks down. 12 verse 19. Instead of taking vengeance ourselves, we must give it over into God's hands and thereby give place to wrath. God will exact vengeance at the final judgment and even in this life, sometimes through the instrumentality of sickness, disease, and even many times secular government will get them, which is rare.
Right, and the Lord is sending pestilence, amen?
Amen.
And so, take care of yourself. You know how you take care of yourself? It's not running so much to the vitamin store, but to run to the Lord. When we're sitting in heavenly places with Him, as in the ascension, we're away from all harm. We can't be ill in the body of Christ. And if we are, by my stripes, Jesus said, Father God said, you were healed. Now just receive it now in the name of Jesus. You already were healed. God wants you to know that. Okay, now here we are, knowing also the reason for ascension, knowing why you are must be ascended with the Lord as part of your salvation. Here's part 8.
Unfortunately, the prayers of the church today contain too little authoritative power and authoritative commands. On the contrary, the prayers are mostly weeping and pleadings. Therefore, they cannot deal with the enemy because they just don't believe that they have the authority or the power of God, the power and authority. They are only able to appeal to God's mercy. This proves that our actual position is still on earth and has not yet believed in the ascension or has ascended to the heavenlies with Christ. Since you are not in the position of ascension, you do not have the heavenly power and authority. You cannot pretend to have God's power and authority. If any man knows the reality of the ascension, he doesn't have any need to act arrogantly or to put on a show of his power or assume some type of an air, as though he's somebody that he's not, because he's supernaturally clothed with the heavenly apparel, the full armor of God, and he has the appearance of that. He is full of the heavenly atmosphere, he breathes the heavenly atmosphere, and is garnished or adorned with the beauty as of the moon and purity as the sun. This doesn't only cause him to appear awesome, but he is awesome. Not only do people fear him, even the evil spirits are afraid of him. It isn't him, though, it is Christ in him that people fear, and the devils fear. It is only this kind of man, a man that has Christ in him, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that is able to stand in the heavenly position of ascension, and is able to exercise through Christ, Christ's heavenly power and authority, and is able to engage through Jesus himself in spiritual warfare against God's enemy and our enemy. So in order to know the ascension, to realize that you have the ascension from the moment that you first were born of the Spirit, that you died out to this world and were resurrected, you also must know the position of ascension so that you can know the position of warfare.
Right, because we've been called to rule. And to rule, we have to rule God's kingdom here on earth, which is a partial kingdom so far. But the only way to increase the kingdom is we must partake in spiritual warfare. We must have on the whole armor of God, which you're being clothed with at the moment. as you hear one message after the other, you're receiving faith in this, in that, which is what you're supposed to do. And so continue staying tuned in every day. And so tomorrow we're going to be doing Romans chapter 13, God willing, and we'll be doing part 9 in dealing with or knowing the ascension. Until then, God wants you to know that He so loved the world, the Word of God loved the so much the world that He gave His Son into the world so that He could teach you what God really is like, and so that He could give the Word, the explanation of the Word, to the world, and then keep all the commandments in front of thousands of people, and then give His life and shed His blood, and then ascend before everybody, go to hell for us first, and then ascend from the dead after 3 days and 3 nights, so that there be witnesses to see it. And then He ascended into the kingdom of heaven with over 500 sets of eyeballs. He went up in a cloud, and He sat on the right hand of the Father, way up above all heavens and earth. And He is sitting there in heavenly places, and we, after we're saved, are sitting there with Him. And He wants us to cooperate with His Spirit after He saves us. And He will deliver you from all evil, as He says. And so meditate on all these things and much more. Just keep reading the Bible. And you'll be planted in firmly in the kingdom of God. So that you'll have peace in knowing that if you leave this earth tonight, you're saved. And those of you that have sick loved ones, get this message. Let them hear these tapes, because especially those that are on their deathbeds, because many, many people on their deathbeds have been saved from listening to these tapes, and they die peacefully. They go up to heaven, and they're living forevermore. And there isn't anything more that you could do for a person than that. Until tomorrow, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord.